Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. I'm your host, Dawn Westmoreland, and I'm excited to be here. Now, it probably would not take you a very long time to think of somebody who has ever been bullied or discriminated or harassed, but today's guest is a friend of mine and somebody who has been through a lot of trauma. Let me start out to tell you that she was in a foster home. In the foster home, she was bullied there, bullied as a teenager, and then as she became an adult, she got bullied more. But she not only survived this, because some people are able to survive it, she thrived. And I'm going to bring her on, Rosemarie Vieira. Welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about your story beginning as a child.
Hi, Dawn. Thanks for having me. So it started out, I was a foster child starting at age 5, and I went from foster home to foster home, and the same story was always in different ones, is that, you know, you're not family, you don't belong, you're not blood, and so you'd get bullied because, you know, you're not family, you're not blood. That followed me all through school, and as a matter of fact, in order to make life a little easier for me, we did not let people know that I was a foster child. And once it got out and found out that I was, then it was even worse because the kids would, you know, push me down the stairs and tell me I'm so ugly and I'm so unloved. My own family didn't want me, and that's why I was in a foster home. And so that was pretty painful. And then that followed me all the way through middle school, where the kids would, again, torment me for being a foster child and not being raised in my own family. And that was bullying with different things. You know, sometimes it would take the place of me being pushed down the stairs. I can remember one time I was on the bus and I was so proud of this parka that they had bought me for winter to keep me warm, and somebody put a match to it and it caught on fire and it got ruined.
Oh my goodness.
I can remember another time in the summer that some kids were tormenting me and they took a cup of lemonade and poured it over my head. I mean, it was terrible. Really, school sucked.
But I got past it. That somebody would act that way. I never realized that foster children got bullied so much. Do you have any idea what the statistics are? I mean, you don't have to be accurate, but what do you think it is?
I don't have the foggiest idea. I don't know if it was just me, if there was something about me that stood out for them to bully, or if it was just because I wasn't being raised by my own family. So I honestly don't know if there are any statistics or if anybody's ever put together any statistics about that. It'd be an interesting study, I think.
I agree. And now you got me really curious. So that carried on to middle school and high school. What happened in high school?
Same thing. I mean, kids would, I can remember kids would grab books and hit me over the head. And I think to this day, I get my migraines because of the beatings I used to get from the kids in school. They would just hit me over the head with the hardcover books, push me down the stairs. I can remember one time where I had had an injury, and I don't remember how I got the injury, but I was on crutches, and some kids took my crutches away from me, and I ended up being late for class because I couldn't get to where I needed to get fast enough. And on another time, I was late because they took my books and threw them out the window, and I had to go get them.
Oh,
so that was, yeah, they couldn't think of enough things to do to me.
Well, now that you're older and wiser, looking back, why do you think these people acted that way? Why do you think they bullied you?
I don't know. I sometimes go with the thought, I know there's contention around it, but I think children learn what they're taught. I mean, if they're not taught tolerance at home, then they're not going to be tolerant in school. It's just going to carry over and they're going to do things stupid like that because they haven't been taught any different.
Yes. So parents out there are mentors and our culture is mentors. So if we see aggressive behavior and nobody addresses it, it's kind of like an okay sign. Go ahead and bully. Well,
Right.
today I know you're a way different person. I remember first meeting you, and I know that, like myself, when I was severely bullied many years ago, I could hardly put one foot in front of another. And I've seen you, over the past, I guess, what has it been, 3 or 4 years, and you're not the same
Oh, at least.
person. You're just not the same person. I mean, you are, I mean, you're the same good soul, but what I mean is, you've gone from being disempowered to very empowered. What changed? I mean, how did that happen?
Oh, there were several things. One, it started, of course, with you when I found out about you and approached you about how I could combat what I was going through because I was going through bullying at work. And, children that start off as bullies end up being bullying adults. And apparently, who I ended up with for an employer several years ago was someone who maybe was bullied when he was younger. I don't know, but he was a bully towards me. He was a monster. He would make me cry every single day. I would cry on my way into work and I'd cry on my way home because during the day he would find ways to bully me and, tear me down, tear down my confidence, tell me I was stupid and I wasn't worth anything. And the turning point there was when it was the week before Christmas and I was bringing in some boxes of copy paper for the copy machine and I had them stacked on a one of those dollies. And I guess I wasn't moving in a manner that he was accepting of. And he grabbed that dolly out of my hand and flung it across the room, barely missed hitting me. And he just said, "You're in my way. Get out of my way." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's so rude." And I had been having problems with him from the beginning. And so I approached his wife, they were partners in the business. And I said to her, I says, "This cannot go on." I said, "I cry every day. This is ridiculous. This is not a way to work." Next thing I know, I got fired. And
Goodness.
there was an instance when, about, I don't know, maybe 6 months into my job there, they hired someone else because he wanted me to do something underhanded regarding his wife, and I wouldn't do it. I refused. And so he had told me, "Your job is to do whatever I tell you to do." And I said, "Well, that's not in my job description." And he's like, "No, you do what I tell you to do. And if not, I'll find someone who will." And he did. He found someone else. And she came in and she was a bully. And she was only there a few days, and my father-in-law had died, and I was really upset about it, and I just couldn't focus at work. And she comes to me and she says, "You need to put your big girl panties on and get straightened out." And I went down to the street because we were in a building downtown, and I went down to the street level, and I just sat on the stairs and started bawling my eyes out. And a complete stranger comes up to me, puts his arms around me, and says, "Are you okay? Is there anything I can do?" And I said, "Yeah, find me a new boss."
So what did he say, Rosemary?
He felt bad and he said, "Hang in there, things will get better." And I just kind of feel like maybe he was like a little angel that came to visit me for a moment to, just to give me hope that all wasn't lost and give me the strength to go back in that building and finish the day out and, do what I had to do. And I stayed there as long as I could. And then it was like after that, it was around Christmas time when I got let go because I complained and said, "I can't work this way."
Wow. How long did you work there?
I want to say a year and a half. And the best thing about that, though, was that I went to apply for unemployment and he told me, he says, "No one ever wins unemployment with me, so don't even try." And I was like, "Yeah, screw that." And so I went and I applied. And the thing that is that during this time where all this was going on, I saw the writing on the wall very early and I started keeping a journal about what I was going through. And that pretty much saved my butt because when it came down to it for the unemployment, that was my proof of what I was going through. It was like I had kept a journal about everything and I wrote down everything. And that's what I turned over to the unemployment office when I told them this is what I'm going through and it's not fair for me not to be able to collect when I was being bullied. And the sad thing is that because North Carolina is an at-will state, you can get fired for any reason. They may not like the clothes you're wearing one day and tell you, okay, you gotta go. And so you have really no recourse as an employee. And I felt like, okay, well, this is different. I should have recourse. But it took 3 times. I battled him 3 times and won 3 times, and then finally was granted unemployment. And it was ugly, I can
Yeah,
tell you.
and you deserve that unemployment. I don't know if most people realize it. Usually 3% of your paycheck goes toward unemployment, and the employer's 3% goes toward it. So I commend you for having great documentation and keeping that journal. And I'd like to
Oh, yeah.
say to the listeners, if you write down notes or documentation, never leave it at work and never leave it on the computer, because it's
Nope.
the company's computer. And people do break into desks to find things and such, but you hung in there. So where did you get all this strength? Because 18 months can be living hell when you're being tortured, and the night before you have to go to work, you become sick to your stomach because you have to put up with that nonsense. How did you get through this?
It was hard. I just wasn't willing to let him win. That's what it came down to. It's like, until I find another job, I am not going to let him win. It really did come down to that. It's like, you know what? This is ridiculous. No one deserves this. And I'll be darned if I'm going to let him get away with it.
Well, that's incredible. And that takes strength and it takes courage. And, I was just having this talk the other day with a friend, is that everybody gets scared, but it's what you do with it. If you just stay disempowered,
Right.
nothing happens. But if you move through that fear, that's where you find empowerment. Well, tell us, what are you doing today? What kind of work are you doing today? Because I know you've gone really far since I've talked to you
Oh,
last.
yeah. So now I work for the exact opposite. The boss I have now, I don't even like to call her my boss. I call her my mentor because that's what she does. She takes a lot of time with me and has a lot of patience when there's issues going on. Like, less than a year ago, I ended up with a quintuple bypass, and being under the anesthesia for so many hours has messed up my memory. And one of the things that he would torment me about with my memory, because I had a little bit of issue with memory because of my, I have fibro, and that comes with brain fog. And when I would have to write things, he would tell me I was being lazy, and he would pull the pen right out of my hand, or he'd pull the pad right off my desk and say, "Stop being lazy. Just remember what I'm telling you." And I'm like, "But you don't understand. I need to write it down." And he's like, "No, you're being lazy. You just remember what I tell you." And my boss now, Sharon, when I need something to remember something, she knows that I'm going to write it down. And matter of fact, she'll even take an extra step sometimes and say, "This is important. Can you write this down? I want to make sure you don't forget." I mean, that's what a true leader does. You don't torment your employees. You lead them, and you lead by example. And that's always been my philosophy, and that's hers as well. You know, she's there and she's a mentor and she wants me to be successful. So she does everything in her power to make sure that that's going to happen. And
Absolutely.
I have never been happier at a job in my life. I mean, I've had some good jobs, I've had some bad jobs, but this is just so perfect, right? I have right now. It's a perfect match for me as well.
And I think it's fair that we give a shout out to a great leader. So if you want to say her full
Yeah,
name, go right for it.
I absolutely do. Her name is Sharon Oxendine, and she is the director of the Western Women's Business Center. And I'm
Yay.
the program manager there. Yeah. So it's awesome. It is. It's a job I love going to every day. And it's just such night and day difference between her and what I had years ago. And it's like awesome.
Yes. And I really don't know Sharon very well, but what I do know is she has an incredible reputation. And so
Well
that's
deserved.
great. Now you also you've told me about taking a course, and I'll let you talk to the listeners and tell them about this course that you had with a guy named Mel. Would you be willing to share
Right.
some details on that?
Of course. So when I first was, reaching to the point of this job that I couldn't make it anymore is when I had found out about you and I had approached you for help, and you were awesome. It helped give me the strength to stand up for myself when I did. Even though, standing up for myself cost me my job, it ended up being a blessing in disguise,
Yes.
Or as Mel likes to say, it's called a gift in shitty wrapping paper. And that's
Absolutely.
because in his course, yeah, he teaches a course called Redirect Your Life, Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, because you can't change other people. You can only change yourself, and you can only change your response. And so that helped give me even more strength to the point that, it's been, let's see, it was 3 years this past December when I went through the course. I think it was 3 years. And it just was an amazing thing to go through, where you have someone there that can support you and show you how you can see things differently and react differently, so that you're being more proactive than reactive in your life and in all things. And so, between what I did with you and what I did with him, I am very empowered and very strong, and no one is ever going to have that kind of power over me ever again. And that actually got tested not long afterwards, when I came across someone that I was planning to be partners with in a business, and he got into that bullying mode, and I put a stop to it immediately and said, "You know what? I'm not going there with you. I'm done with this."
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you get to claim your personal power. And, going back to the class RYL, the other day I was trying to remember what it meant, and I kept thinking, respect your life, and I started laughing to myself. I'm like, that's not the right name of it, but it is about
It's
respecting
redirect
your
your life.
life. Yeah. And you have to have personal power. You have to love yourself. I'm not talking about narcissistic love. I'm talking about self-love, self-respect, and also about
Exactly.
self-care. So, Mel Fergenbaum's a great teacher, a great leader, and I know he's helped me. He's helped other people, and so shout out to him. And so, let me ask you, Rosemary, if somebody out there, and trust me, there's many people out there, I get emails and private messages all the time, somebody is out there being bullied by a nasty boss. They don't even have to be as nasty as your boss, but what would you tell them? I mean, you just run into them, they'd start telling you their story, and they're just traumatized. I mean, where would you even start? What would you tell them?
Of course, the first thing I'd probably do, because you know me, the first thing I'd do is reach out and give them a great big hug and tell them it's going to be okay and that they can find the strength to get through it. But my biggest advice is to do like what I did, is document everything. If there's anything in an email, print it out and keep it, and don't keep it in the office. Just print it out and take it home with you. Keep a journal. Like, to me, that not only was my proof of what I was going through, but it was helping to keep me sane, because every day I thought, I was like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And the only thing that kept me doing it is I have a mortgage on my home, and I didn't want to lose my home, so I had to stay, and I couldn't let him win. And so I say, document everything. That's probably the most important advice I could possibly give. And don't lose your head.
Yeah, stay sane. Yeah,
Because,
definitely stay.
anger can be an issue. You get very frustrated and upset, and so of course you want to lash out, but the wise thing would be not to, because they can use that against you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'll jump in and I'll tell the listeners that documentation is very important. And I know you kept a journal, and I remember you telling me in the past that your boss sent you some nasty emails you printed and took home. So that helps, absolutely helped you, with, being able to get unemployment. But a lot of times what people don't realize is that when you were talking about having to have pen and paper to write things, to remember things, I get it, because disability is not always visible. That somebody's in a wheelchair or on crutches, or have braces around their legs. There's invisible, just, there's invisible disabilities. So,
Psychological.
yes, exactly. So, you can go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, .gov, so EEOC.gov. And you can look up the different discriminations. So you may not have known this at the time, Rosemary, but the supervisor probably may have been discriminated against you for your disabilities. You could have, if you chose to, you could have reached out to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and they also have state level agencies too, and you could have filed charges against him. And if he had had any retaliation, if he had done any retaliation against you, you could file for retaliation. But you have come a long way. You've learned a lot. I'm so proud of you. And I want to say, I'm very honored that you gave gratitude to me. But the thing is, you do the work. You always do the work. You've done the work, and you've gone so far. I remember, like I said in the beginning of our conversation, I remember how you were. And today, you're a different person. You're out there doing incredible things, sharing your gifts, and you've always been a beautiful soul. So we're going to
Oh,
wrap up
thank you.
this. You're welcome. We're going to wrap up this conversation. Should somebody be inspired by you and want to reach out to you, do you have a contact information that you would like to provide to them?
Sure, they can reach out to me on Facebook, and they just look for Rosemarie Grace Vieira, V as in Victor, IEIRA. That's a lot of vowels. Reach out to me on Facebook and just, put a message out to me like you heard me on the radio and you want to talk further, and I'll be happy to talk.
That's great. That's wonderful, Gwen. And I just want to say how much, again, how proud I am of you because for the last 4 years since I settled with my federal agency, I have met so many people that still live in the victimhood, and I'm not judging them, but they're not ready to move on. And you not only moved on, you're doing incredible, and we're hearing incredible things about you. So signing off,
Oh.
this is Dawn Westmoreland. Thanks again, Rosemarie Vera, and you have a
Thank you,
wonderful
Dawn.
day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.